They continue.
Continue?
Yeah.
So, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Zoom virtual service once again. Without more ado, I will hand over to Paul, who is leading our worship today. Paul.
Well, good morning, everybody. I don't know what the weather's like in Northampton. It was a bit overcast and grey here earlier on, but I'm looking out of the windows now and it's blue sky. So I'm hoping that might continue this afternoon so we can go out for a walk. We're thinking of going to
Pittsford Reservoir
possibly. So if any of you fancy a walk over there this afternoon, we might see some of you. Anyway, I'm going to start by reading a few verses from the book of Isaiah. And it says this, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him was seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Today is Trinity Sunday, actually, where we think about God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And our first hymn this morning picks up the theme of God in three persons: holy, holy, holy. These are traditional words, but a different arrangement. Let's come now to God in prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you are the Father of all creation, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the ones, Lord, who sustain us, that keep the universe going, Lord, that brought into life each one of us. And we want to praise you and thank you, Father, for who you are and for your great love to us. And we thank you, God, that you are God the Son. The Father sent the Son, Jesus, to be our Saviour, to forgive us, to wash us clean of our sin and our unrighteousness, to make us fit and to worthy to come before the throne of God. We just thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus, for all he is and for all he means to each one of us. We thank you, Lord, that you are God, the Holy Spirit, that on Pentecost, Father, that you sent your Holy Spirit to this earth to be like a wind, a fire, a cleansing thunderstorm almost, Lord, to just bring us new life. And we just pray, Lord, this morning that we might be filled with the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit in our meeting together today. Even though, Lord, we're far away, Lord, from each other, joined, Lord, only by the wonder of technology and of radio waves and wireless and things like that, Lord. But, Father, somehow you manage to connect with us in this mysterious way. And so we just ask this morning, Father, that we might know your presence here today. Draw us closer to one another, closer to you, so that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Our theme this morning is we're going to be thinking about new birth and creation. And I found this little video, actually, and it's amazing, I think, the way that God teaches us about the way that we are born again as Christians, and he uses examples from sort of everyday life to kind of explain that sort of mysterious occurrence. And I found this little video. It's of a butterfly and how it changes from becoming just an ordinary chrysalis into a butterfly. It's only a couple of minutes long, and I just thought it's just good sometime just to us to observe the wonder of God's creation. Absolutely amazing, isn't it, really? Just the way that, you know, just an ordinary chrysalis can turn into a butterfly. And, you know, I would never have dreamt, you know, that that could ever happen, and the way that it happens. But, you know, the way that God can change us can also be completely miraculous as well. And this morning, I want us to think about the way that God wants to change us, and that he can do this very often in ways in which we very often find hard to accept or hard to understand. We're going to listen to a reading now, which Ruth's going to bring us from. We're going to have a song first of all, and then Ruth's going to bring us a reading which explains a little bit about God's new birth. I am a new creation. Okay, right. Now Ruth is going to bring us our reading from John chapter 3. Sorry about that, Ruth, if I scared you there.
Right. Woke me up. Okay. Nicodemus visits Jesus. John 3, 1:17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can that be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
Thank you. thank you, Ruth.
Sorry.
Probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible is John 3:16. I want to think this morning a bit about change. And I think all of us at the moment, and particularly over the last 18 months, have experienced a tremendous amount of change, haven't we? And, you know, we seem to be in a constant state of flux. You know, change sometimes can be good, but sometimes change can be not so good as well. And I don't know about you, the older you get, the more difficult it becomes sometime to change. You know, we do get set in our ways, don't we? You know, we like to be safe and keep in our little own routines and ways of doing things. And this encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus is quite a good example of that, and how Nicodemus found it hard to change, to get out of the rut that he got himself into and understand what Jesus was trying to tell him about being born again. I've chosen three B's to help us this morning, three things, three sort of headings, if you like, beginning with the letter B, to try and just to kind of pull this story together. The first B is that Nicodemus had to go back to the beginning. And this was a conversation that took between Jesus and Nicodemus at night. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, a well-respected Jewish leader, a member of the Sanhedrin, probably a regular attender of the synagogue, and a leader and a teacher of the law. And when Jesus said to Nicodemus, look, he said, you must be born again if you want to belong to God's kingdom. In spite of all the teaching, in spite of all the knowledge, all the learning that that Nicodemus had got, Nicodemus just couldn't get his head around what Jesus was trying to tell him. You know, he said, look, he said, does that mean I've got to go back into my mother's womb and be born all over again? You know, he almost kind of took literally what it was that Jesus was trying to say. And he couldn't really understand some of the deeper spiritual truths that Jesus was trying to convey to Nicodemus. And despite all his learning, all his influence, he got real difficulty in trying to understand what Jesus was explaining to him about new birth. You know, it's often the same with us, isn't it? We can go to church every week. We can be a deacon, a minister, a church member, and still listen to sermons week in, week out, and sing the hymns and join in with the prayers and everything, and still not fully understand what God is trying to say to us. You know, I know for myself, I was my mum took me to church. She took me to Tiny Tots when I was little. I went to Sunday school and went every week and everything. But it wasn't until a lot later in life, when I was at college on teaching practice, that God really spoke to me. And, you know, I understood what it was to follow Jesus. And of course, the longer the ignorance goes on, the unlearning takes place, the more difficult it is to change, isn't it, and to understand. And it's much harder learning things from scratch. Now, I want us to try a little experiment. Now, what I want you to do, and we can all do this sitting on our chairs or sofas or whatever at home, I want you to cross your arms and to cross your legs. Okay? Now, we're all nice and comfortable. We've got our hands, our legs and our arms crossed. Now, what I want you to do now is to cross your arms and legs the other way around.
Yeah.
I can see actually on the screen, some of you are having a few problems with that. It's not a natural thing, isn't it? You know, if we cross our arms and our legs and the way that we sit in our chairs and things, we like to do it in a certain way, and trying to do it in a different way is unnatural, isn't it? It doesn't come easily to us, and we prefer to sort of stick with our sort of tried and tested methods of crossing our arms and our legs. But Jesus is saying here to Nicodemus that, you know, you've got to kind of put aside your old way of thinking, that old life of sin and unbelief that you'd got, and to accept this new start which Jesus is offering. Now, I reckon it must have taken Nicodemus a lot of courage to go up and talk to to Jesus. And probably one of the reasons why he did it at night, because in those days to identify as being a Christian was quite dangerous. And to be a Jewish leader and a Pharisee would have been even unthinkable for them to be following what Jesus was saying. Because, as you know, the Pharisees were dead against the teachings of Jesus, and Jesus had quite a lot of run-ins with them. And it could have cost him his job, it could have cost him his reputation. But Nicodemus wanted to listen to Jesus and he was prepared to let Jesus listen to minister to him. So that's the first thing then, that Nicodemus had got to unlearn everything. He's got to go back to the beginning. The second B is that Nicodemus had got to begin then to believe. So he'd learned everything. He now got to learn a new thing, a new truth that Jesus was teaching him. So Jesus has another go at trying to explain about belief, about being born again. And this time he uses an illustration that probably would have been quite familiar with Nicodemus, being a Jew and knowing back to front the Jewish scriptures and the Old Testament and everything. And he uses the illustration about the time when hundreds of years before, when the Israelites had been in the desert with Moses. They'd rebelled against God and become bitten by snakes, and many of the Israelites died. And in response to this, God told Moses to hold up a metal snake on a pole, and that anyone who looked at this snake would live. And Jesus was trying to say, well, look, you know, we're like, a bit like the Israelites who rebelled. They were grumbling to God, and they were grumbling to Moses, and God had brought them out of Egypt and out of captivity. And they were almost sort of throwing everything that God had done for them back into his face. You know, he'd done lots of things for them. So God, as a punishment, sent them this slither of venomous snakes to bite them. And in the same way, we're a bit like being bitten with snakes in our sin, aren't we? You know, it's our sin, isn't it, that prevents us from connecting with God. It holds us draws us back. So Jesus is trying to explain here to Nicodemus. He's saying, look, in the same way that God sent this, this snake on a pole as a symbol of his way back to him, in the same way, I'm going to be crucified upon a cross. And that just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, then that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So in other words, the first step to being born again is that you need to believe in me. Anyone who repents of their sin, anyone who repents of the wrong that they've done in their life and looks to Jesus is automatically forgiven. And that new life then is given to them, that eternal life. You know, I think we probably need to talk more to others, don't we, about what God has done to us, for us through Jesus in our lives. You know, we're quite good at talking about the things that we do every day, but we're probably not so good at telling other people about our conversion, our experience, and the way that God has changed us. You know, 1 Corinthians, Paul said, we preach Christ and him crucified. And it's difficult, isn't it? Because Paul goes on to say it's a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. And it's not easy, is it, trying to explain to people about our faith? Because people, I think today, particularly today, people just aren't interested, are they, in hearing about what God has done for us. The third thing is that Jesus said to Nicodemus that once you become born again, you're born into a new family. You're born to be part of this new relationship with it. In John 3 and verse 6, in the contemporary English version, it's translated like this, and I think it kind of sums it up. It says, humans give life to their children, yet only God's Spirit can change you into a child of God. Only God's Spirit can change you into a child of God. So in the same way that we saw that chrysalis was turned in a miraculous way into a butterfly, you know, it's difficult to explain, isn't it, kind of how that change happens. But Jesus is saying, you know, being born again is a miracle, isn't it? It's a wonder that, you know, you just can't explain away. By putting our belief and trust in Jesus, we will be born again. You know, we often talk about, you know, we say to people, are you born again? As if there's some Christians that are born again and some that aren't. But Jesus never said that. You know, he said that if you believe in me, if you are a Christian, if you're a disciple, a follower of me, then you are born again. You know, there's no such thing as a not born again Christian. All Christians are born again. And we belong to a new family, don't we? And of course, being part of a family is not always easy, is it? We don't always get on with our brothers and sisters. You know, my grandchildren, I've got five grandsons, and they're always squabbling with each other, and they're always falling out and fighting each other. And that's the way families are, isn't it? We don't always get on as well as we might. But we have a responsibility, I think, as members of God's family, to try and to be open and loving and welcoming to those who are looking to join God's family. It's not us that admits them, is it, into God's family? It's God. But we have a responsibility that once they are our brothers and sisters, to look at the relationships that we have with them. You know, churches sometimes can be a bit of a scary place, can't they, for new Christians? But I believe God wants us to use our fellowship, our church relationships, to help to build up our love and concern and our familyness for one another. You know, the most important family rules to learn, and Jesus taught this over and over again, is to love one another and to obey God. They're the two golden rules, aren't they, of being part of God's family. You know, I think Nicodemus is like all of us, isn't he? I don't think Nicodemus was particularly good or particularly bad. But Jesus laid it on the line to him, didn't he? He said, if you want to be a member of my family, you must be born again. And that's the question, I think, for all of us today. Have we been born again? Have we entered into that relationship with God? You know, we may have been coming to church for many weeks or many years and things, and never quite kind of taken that step of faith, never quite understood what it's all about. And perhaps this morning, God's speaking to each one of us and helping us to think about where we are in our relationship with God, challenging us to sort of come back to where it all started on the cross. Some of us in the Baptist Church have been looking at a model that our regional minister produced. It's called the Congregational Life Cycle. Put it up on the screen. And we've been using this model to kind of help us identify sort of where we are as a church. And one of the features of this model is about sometimes there's a need for death and rebirth. You know, very often we find that in our churches that we kind of carry on, don't we, in the same old way, week in, week out, year in, year out, and, you know, things never change. And, you know, and we wonder sometimes why we don't get new people coming into our congregation, why things kind of stay a bit stale and things all become a bit samey. And I believe, you know, that this time at the moment when we've had this different kind of experience of church over the last year or so on Zoom and having to meet in other ways, I believe is challenging our traditional view of what God wants us to do in terms of our fellowship with one another and church. You know, and I think it's really making people think about, you know, what church is going to be like in the future. And I think we need to be careful that we don't kind of just go back to the way things were. I think God's providing and opening a new door for us to think in a new way about fellowship in the future. You know, we don't hear very much about Nicodemus in the rest of the Bible. And the next time that Nicodemus is mentioned is at the crucifixion of Jesus, and he's standing there at the cross, and he's with Joseph of Arimathea when he's asking for Pilate's permission to take Jesus's body away and to lay it in the tomb. And I wonder what Nicodemus was thinking when he saw Jesus hanging upon that cross on that day of crucifixion. And I wonder whether those words that Jesus spoke to him on that night came back to him in John chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15. That just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Amen. Before Catherine comes and leads us in our prayers for others in a moment or two, we're going to join now in our next hymn, which is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the died, my risen saving the death of Christ, my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. Love demands my soul, my life, my all.
Let us pray. Lord God, you are three persons, yet one, living and reigning in the perfect unity of love, grace, and fellowship. Father God, we give thanks for those who had the courage to share the gospel with us, making known the love of Jesus Christ and helping us grow in faith and trust in you as our God and King. We ask you to strengthen those for whom proclaiming the gospel is dangerous, to the point of having their livelihoods, loved ones, and lives threatened, that they may know the courage that comes from seeing others come to faith. May we, from the safety of our comfortable lives, learn to spot the opportunities you give us to share your gospel, and do so both with boldness and with grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the huge diversity of people who share this world. We pray for peace in so many parts of our troubled world. And we pray that in all areas of conflict, seeds of hope may be sown by men and women of courage and faith, and by those who can see the bigger picture, which includes a God of love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for those in the dark places of the world, where violence terrorizes the people, where hunger is prevalent, where there are people for whom hope is running low. We pray for the work of all engaged in humanitarian work amongst refugees and migrants in many parts of the world. May your spirit flow like fresh water over them, bringing hope for the future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we pray for those who lead and encourage our two congregations. We especially pray for Paul, who has brought your word to us today, and for all of the support and encouragement he has given to us as Kingsock Baptist moderator since we have been without a minister. We give thanks, Lord, for those whose lives touch ours with fun and fellowship, with love and laughter, with kindness and comfort in this community and beyond. Help us to be generous with our time, with our love, and so care for those who are in need of our support. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Spirit of God, you never leave us comfortless, always walking beside us. We pray for those who have not noticed you, that you are there with them, or have chosen to ignore you, or for those who have lost their faith, and for those who desperately need you. In the quiet, we name one or two such people before you and pray that they will raise their eyes to see you. And as we think of those people, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of mercy, we pray for all who suffer, for those we dearly love, for those we barely know, for those whose suffering we have ignored. We pray for all those who care and minister to them, whether they are family, friends, or professionals. And we ask you give to them your gifts of patience, compassion, and understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, we give thanks for the lives of those known to us who have recently died. Be with those who mourn. May they be aware of your presence and know that you love and care for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, lead us into the coming week and help us to recognize that you are with us in our sorrows and difficult decisions, but also in times of joy and laughter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Thank you, Catherine. That was lovely. We've been thinking of God as our Father, God as our Son. And our final song this morning takes up the theme of God, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, living breath of God.
Your word to come alive in me.
that last verse to finish. It says, let the fragrance.
You did better. Bleep. He chased the pigeons away. That thing didn't. I'll have to do something like that this afternoon.
I'm just going to pray a few words from that last song that we've just sung. Father, we just pray that we might cause your church to hunger for your ways. Let the fragrance of our prayers arise. Lead us on the road to sacrifice, that in unity the face of Christ will be clear for all the world to see. Let's join together now and say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us forevermore. Amen.
Thank you, Paul, for leading our worship this morning. Have our prayer on Wednesday and Friday for reasons of business for me. Paul is leading the Wednesday prayer, and I will be sending out a special link for Wednesday to those who normally attend the prayer meeting. If you are wanting to attend Wednesday's prayer, and you don't. Usually, please ask me and I will send you the link as well. But Friday onwards, we will go back to using the usual link, just a special link on Wednesday, which will be when Paul is leading the prayer. Mm. Next Sunday morning, there's the Zoom service on here at 11, which is led by Martin Turnbull. But because it's the first Sunday in the month, there is also the Methodist Pastures service. Lois, who should people let know if they're going to be attending that service?
I think that would be Catherine Jones.
Okay. So if you're wanting to attend the Pastures service next Sunday morning, please let Catherine Jones know so that your place can be booked there, because we are still under the COVID restrictions on numbers and social distancing in attending worship. The first Saturday in June, which is next Saturday, we are opening the church for private prayer between 10:30 and 12. And Sunday week, sorry, it's a bit complicated today. Sunday week, which is the 13th of June, it's the LRW-led service, which is going to be a hybrid service. So you can either attend by coming to the Baptist church, or you can attend on Zoom. But if you're going to come and want to come physically to the Baptist Church on the 13th of June, please can you let Janet Malloy know, so again your place can be booked.
Please come out with the testimony, didn't it?
Any other notices? Anybody probably should mention that we have a deacons and leaders meeting on Tuesday evening, for which we welcome all your prayers. So anything else anybody wishes to mention today? Can't see anybody waving at me. So
unfortunately we can't join you Sandra and Paul this afternoon around Pitford Reservoir. We'd very much like to do so. But we've got our daughter and her husband. They're coming around to help me partially cut down some branches of a tree that are spreading over the top of our greenhouse. And the birds seem to like to sit there and deposit something on the greenhouse. unfortunately...
Why don't you deal with your poo then?
No, otherwise we'd have loved to join you.
Okay. In which case, let's wish everybody Godspeed, God's blessing, for the week, and let's go and enjoy what hopefully is going to be sunshine this afternoon.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye, bye, Joyce. Have a good week.
Bye. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye, bye, Bernadette.
Bye. 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 Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.